Right, the text is in Luke 23. Luke 23 and verses 42 and 43. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. It's a very unusual conversion in a very unusual place. Now then, there is an account here of a very remarkable event, and it's planned in eternity. And it's planned in eternity for the sake of us and for mankind. In Acts 4:28, we have this kind of reference. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. These things were planned in the heart of God. Also, 700 years previously, Isaiah prophesied. And he said these words, and he's referring here to the thieves. It's interesting that he should. Because he had poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Notice that now. Because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, that is, with the two thieves, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. That's Isaiah 53, verse 12. Now, this remarkable Son of God, at his birth, call it the virgin birth, his company were beasts. At his death, his company were murderers and thieves. Now then, we note the sovereignty of God in action here. Christ died between two notorious sinners. It's the issue of every age. One died hard and unrepentant as he had lived. And the other repented and was forgiven. So you have really quite a drama going on there on Calvary of men identical in their sin, or presumably so, something the same, murderers and thieves and so on. Yet one is cursing to the very end, and the other is not. I remember an occasion when I was in the hospital and praying with one of our members, and I went to the next bed to speak to the person. And before I got to him, he said, get away. I don't want anybody praying with me. And the man was dying. It's incredible, you know, how hard a person can be. You'd think at the very end there would be something. But here is proof in the scriptures as well. In this event, we observe the sovereignty of God and the responsibility of man. Now then, firstly then, the miracle of grace. Salvation saved by grace. The candidates are always sinners. Always sinners. They vary in background. Take Paul, for example. He was a Pharisee, highly moral standards, and deeply religious. A very good man from the ordinary measurement of human beings, saying so. The thief was morally corrupt. He had done no good works, and he had no interest in God all his life. And yet these two men, Paul and this thief by the side of Jesus Christ, both very, very different, both are saved. So it certainly hasn't got anything to do with merit. Yet both are saved. It is an amazing thing. It makes you think really of the disease of leprosy. You know, a person can have leprosy very badly, thinking as it was in the old days. And obviously a leper, they carry a little bell and shout it, unclean, unclean. But another might say, well, I've only got a few indications on one hand of leprosy. Surely you cannot count me a leper. But you've got leprosy. It's there. Whether it is very evident or whether it's not, it's in your system. And the same with sin. It may be very, very evident, or it may be not so evident, but it is there. Now, here we observe the sovereignty of God in all this. Now, what accounts for this intervention? Well, it is a miracle. It is a miracle. It is a supernatural thing that happens. And if we went round now, all of us here, and for those who have an experience of the grace of God and have assurance of salvation, I wonder what all our stories would be. It would take a very long time for each one of us. And for those maybe who are not, yet they may be on their way in their painful search, and they would be helped maybe by our painful search and say, I can identify with that. I understand that anguish. I understand that pain. I understand that anger. I understand that restlessness. So we might, if we had what we call a fellowship meeting, said, let's share. And let's not be shy at one another. Let's be open. And some might discover that they thought they were saved and found that they were not. And others may discover they thought they were not and found that they were. You know, you can never tell when you openly talk about a thing in honesty before God and his people. It is always a miracle. Always a miracle. Now, I'd like to come to the moment of grace. God in action is a very exciting thing. Regarding this thief, there are two of them. All this happens is salvation before the hours of darkness. Remember this in the account, a great darkness came? It's before that. So you might say, oh, he's frightened of the darkness. No, it's before that. It's before Christ cried in triumph. It is finished. That would have been very impressive. The work of grace is finished. It's before that. The temple, the veil of the temple was ripped in two, rent in twain. And people will be very alarmed at that. It was before that. There was a great earthquake and a great commotion, we know, in the cemetery. It was before that. It was, the centurion said, truly, this is a righteous man. Is not this the Son? Truly, this is the Son of God. It is before all that. So there's nothing there to help him. You know, said, what does the centurion help? Said, help me. The earthquake scared me. The graves opening frightened me. The darkness made me feel of darkness too. It was before all that happened. So there's nothing in circumstances to help that man or make him think of his eternal destiny. Now then, how did God come to him? He came to him in the most unfavorable of circumstances. A crucifixion was a brutal kind of death, a terrible death. We needn't go into the details, because some hymns, especially those that are very graphic and very descriptive, the Moravian hymns particularly, and I'm afraid it happened to them later, that they stopped there. They stopped at the cross, and they went no further. Whereas really, it goes further than that. Oh, tell me what it meaneth, that cross uplifted high. Now, we could go to the details, and many do, and can say, well, that's a remarkable thing to happen, and stop there. You must stop there. You must understand there's more to the nails. There's more than the crown of thorns. There is the wrath of God poured on his Son. So it's a very remarkable thing that's taking place. The crucifixion for the thieves who were in sin, who'd lived a clean, unclean, dirty life, murderous, involved themselves in all sorts of immorality, I should imagine. Yet they are there too, and they're dying. And we're inclined to think, when a person's dying, they're bound to think of these things. But you see, not necessarily. Some people say, I'm all right, because I'm like the thief on the cross. Which one? Which one? You can't be certain, can you? It has to be an act of grace. Now, in the most unfavorable of circumstances, you might say, well, for a person to be saved, we must have comfortable chairs. We must have just the right amount of heating or warmth in a church. We must have just the right kind of music. We must have just the right kind of preacher with the right kind of voice, the right kind of illustration. And we mustn't make it too long. We must make it comfortable, at ease, Surely that would be a help to them to be saved. Well, the thief was not sitting on an easy chair. He was in agony, in anguish, hanging that cross, a very slow and a brutal and a cruel death. That's where he was. And it amazes me that he was able to talk at all. But you know, here, if I may put this in, one of the lessons I learned in my second church, I don't know why I learned it there particularly, I think I did because of how the people were. It was a village. At that time, I'm talking of 45 years ago, at that time, their care for each other was incredible. You know, I can remember when the high sheriff died and he was in our church, the place was packed, big church. When the village simple person who used to collect stub ends, when he died, the church was packed. They respected life. They did, you know. And if somebody was alone and couldn't manage, the streets were very narrow, you could talk from one front door to the other, you know, they would help. And I can remember in the farms, when one tragedy in a farm when their only son had an accident and the parents couldn't face it, you know, because it was a terrible thing, which I'll not make you feel distressed about it. And they could not go out anymore. They just sat at each end of the table and looked at one another. They were religious, they were not Christian, but the farmers took two-hour turns in keeping the farm going. That's the kind of village it was. I'm not exaggerating. And if somebody was in Gabor in the hospital for bones, that kind of thing, 80, 90 miles, well, 100 miles away maybe, they would take it in turns to take the family to see them. It was really quite amazing. And then I saw the shepherds, how they grieved over one sheep being lost. That's how it was then. And I learned the value of one. Of one. God knows the value of one. He cares for you. He cares for me. That's a wonderful thing to know. It's not a mass thing, you know. It's not a mass thing. It's not like during the war, identity card numbers and we just amass. No. It's individual. And it's tender. And it's meaningful. The ways of God are past finding out. Here he is, this thief. But he has a change of heart. And he begins to make some comments. I'm sure he found it very hard to get words out. He was in pain. And he said these words, I've read them to you previously, in verse 40. Dost thou not... the other thief was being callous, aggressive. Can't you save us? Can't you do something about this? You say you're a miracle person. He was quite rude. And he doesn't know, he did not understand. But the other one said, dost thou not fear God? Have you never thought of God? Have you never thought of your Creator? Have you never thought of Him? Indeed, he's implying, have you ever thought of judgment? Dost thou not fear God, seeing that it art in the same condemnation? And we indeed, justly. It's quite right that we're on these crosses. We've murdered plenty. We've robbed plenty. We've raped plenty. We've done these things, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward for our deeds. This is where we should be. It's right and just we should be here. But this man has done nothing amiss. How did he know? You know, God opens our eyes. It's an amazing thing. Things that we can look and say, well, yes, I understand. When God opens our eyes... And then he turned to Jesus Christ. If he could turn, I don't know. But he said unto Jesus, Lord, now notice the words, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Now, how does he get all that in so short a time? Lord. They didn't call anybody Lord, but Yahweh, but God. But And he called Jesus Christ God. And he was also God, remember? He was God and man. He said in all his ignorance, I'm sure he didn't know anything of his scriptures as he should, Lord, Lord, remember me, we'll come to that in a minute, when thou comest into thy kingdom. So he sees that he's also a king and that he has a kingdom. He doesn't look very much like a kingdom now, with all those Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes yelling and screaming and spitting and shouting and the rest of it, and a few women and his mother weeping. It didn't look much like a kingdom then. He said, when you come to your kingdom, I can see you're a king. I want you to remember me. Now, we love to be remembered, don't we? Isn't it awful when we think somebody knows us very well and we meet them and they say, what was your name? Where did I meet you? That's quite hurtful, isn't it? You think, oh, they forgot me then. Surely they remember me, you know? I said, well, I've been your minister for over 40 years. You don't remember me? Well, of course, it is a bit of a shock, you know. But of course, you could get very forgetful and have a senior moment or a half an hour senior moment, you know, whatever, you know. That's possible. I recognize that. But to ask God, to ask the Son of God, remember me. He could have said, who are you? You dirty sinner. You murderer. You rapist. You thief. You? Why should I remember you? And what did he say? Today. Today. Thou shalt be with me in paradise. Is that remarkable? He didn't even throw up his past. He didn't do that. The other one was so near to Calvary and so far. And the other one was near in Calvary and found his way to Christ. That's the difference there. What do we learn? In Romans 3, 22 and 3, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So go back to Paul and we measure his life. Oh, yes, very little. You come short of the measurements. You come short of the expectations of God. You're a sinner. And we measure the thief. You also come short. You come short of the glory of God. And we, every one of us here, stand in the same position. We come short of what God requires. We contribute nothing to our salvation, nothing at all. Whatever your background is, whatever you're proud of, however much you loved your parents and if they were good people, that doesn't make you a Christian. It doesn't make you. You're as alone as that thief. You know, you're as alone as that. It is when God wakes up our soul. I do not know how this happens. It is a miracle. See, a preacher is told to preach the gospel, but he cannot save anybody. That's a strange thing. But he has to preach. But in the context of this, the Holy Spirit can come to a heart and disturb them. Sometimes they feel no disturbance for a while, but before long, they can't forget that message. Before long, it comes back. Oh, it's not true. Very few people go to church today or chapel. It's not true. And we throw it off for a while. But if we have been awakened by God, I tell you, you haven't got a chance. He'll catch you. Sooner or later, he will get you. But also you have a great responsibility. You too have to turn and say, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. We come with repentance and faith. These are essential. Many people like to skip the repentance. We have to come to that place where we sorrow for our sin. And we turn it away from ourselves. It's not just saying, I'm not saying you can't include this if you want. I did this, I did that, I did that, and a whole list of things. Well, that's all right, but are you going to remember them all? No, I come as I am. I sin because I am a sinner. That's what I do. That's my occupation. I'm a sinner. So we come as a sinner to him. Now, repentance means, some people think it's remorse. I've had many people come to me with a remorse and wanted to believe, and nothing has happened. Remorse is only feeling sorry for your sin and sorry for yourself. And just to believe, you can give that a sense. But when God has wakened a sinner, it's very deep. It's called, you know, the chasm of conviction. It hurts, it's painful, and you mustn't rush anybody through it. But it's there, it's real. You know that you are unworthy. And also, believers, all right. I've always believed. No, you haven't. Faith comes from God, from Jesus Christ. And when that comes, it is a remarkable thing. You know that he's the Son of God, and you believe. And then you see in his life how he fulfilled a law I could never fulfill. I could never love God with all my heart. I could never love my neighbour. Well, some maybe, but not all. Depends how much they've offended me, you know. I could never love them with all my... And even if I more or less theoretically loved them, I couldn't love them with all my heart, so I fall short. But he did it for me. He loved God with all his heart and his neighbour as himself. And then, as well as that, he did something for me that I could do. It's quite true. But I'd be there for eternity. He paid the punishment for sin. Now, in that period on the cross, he paid it in full. In full. Now, when we pay it, all eternity is too short to pay it. So two great things that he does. And we appropriate these by faith in Jesus Christ. Hear one of the hymns from the group I mentioned earlier on. O sacred head, sore wounded, with grief and shame bowed down, how scornfully surrounded with thorns thine only crown. Remarkable, isn't it? How pale art thou with anguish, with sore abuse and scorn. How does that visage languish, which once was bright as morn? Thy grief and bitter passion were all for sinners' gain. Mine, mine was the transgression, but thine the deadly pain. Isn't that wonderful? Mine, mine was a transgression, but thine the deadly pain. Have you got that? Mine, mine was a transgression, but thine the deadly pain. Lo, here I fall, my Saviour. Now, have you been there? Coming there? There? Lo, here I fall, my Saviour. 'Tis I deserve thy place. Look on me with thy favour, vouchsafe to me thy grace. This is a place where sins are forgiven. This is a place where sinners are washed. This is a place where sinners are dressed. It is the greatest thing that can ever happen in our lives. It changes us forever. It changes our destination. It is a miracle. You know, it would be wonderful if any preacher could absolutely convey the miracle. But that has to come from God, because if one preacher could do it, there would be vanity. But we can be faithful. Somebody asked Spurgeon, what's the important thing in the ministry? Because he was very, very well blessed, as you know. What is the most important thing in the ministry? He didn't say to be successful. He said to be faithful. You can be faithful to 5. You can be faithful to 50. Faithful to 500, to be faithful. We cannot save. God will use the words, but God is the one who saves, you know. That's why we desire it more than anything else. That's why in the service, every hymn is an act of worship. Every psalm, the reading. I like the way they do in America. I wouldn't like to start a new thing here, just be odd, you know. But I love what they do in the United States. For the reading of the Word of God, they all stand. And very often, they read it from the Authorized Version. They read it together, or alternate verses. But they stand for the Word of God. I can understand that. Because it's a highlighter. Here is the Word of God. This is from God. is inspired, inerrant, infallible. It is the word of God. Now, lastly, the mystery of grace. In such a world, in such darkness, there is a way to God, and only one way. Only one way. Through this glorious Son of God. There are verses that you know well. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And Wesley, in one of his hymns, has it very beautifully. He said, it's a mystery. Of course it is. It is mystery all. Immense and free. It says, oh, no, I'm wrong here. It is mystery all. The immortal dies. Now, that's a strange thing. It is mystery all. The immortal dies. Who can explore his strange design? In vain the firstborn seraph tries to sound the depths of love divine. It is mercy all. Mercy all. Let earth adore. Let angel minds inquire no more. When you see you are a sinner, you cry out, mercy, mercy, mercy. You cry out that. I can remember an account during the time of the Holocaust. It was of some Jewish people going to their death. And there was actually, in this case, a Christian at the entrance. And they cried out, mercy, mercy, mercy. But there was no mercy. There was no mercy. Terrible. But you know, when we cry out, mercy, mercy, mercy. What is mercy? It's for those who don't deserve God's favor. So qualify. Is that wonderful? Whatever we are, whatever our past, whatever our sin, it is mercy all, immense and free. For, oh my God, it found out me. It sorted me out. Come back to the thieves on the cross. It is a remarkable thing. There they are. Oh, they were dreadful men. I mean, we wouldn't look at either of them twice, you know, we wouldn't. Oh, we certainly would not. And when we'd hear what they'd done, oh no, we would not. Yet Jesus Christ listened to this man. Lord, remember me. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Well, from anguish to glory, from dust to and ashes to glory. Yes, that's true. Now then, let's come to us. When we pass from life to what we call death, which can never be death. Everybody has everlasting life, either in hell or in heaven. Everybody has that. You know, do we need to say, remember me? Remember me? Would it be terrible if the Lord said, well, you know, I've got this terrible memory and I've lost the list. Well, what do you claim? Well, you know, I was very interested. Remember me? There won't be anybody in hell who should be in heaven. There won't be anybody in heaven who should be in hell. So when we come, before we say, remember me, we are introduced to God the Father by our names. And he names us. Do you remember that time on forms when we had to fill a form? Surname, Christian name. Do you remember? Oh, you don't remember. I do. Then it changed. Surname, Christian or forenames. Then it changed. Surname, forenames. It disappeared. It's not disappeared in the calendar of God or in the diary of God. He knows me by my name. By my name. You know, when I used to take people into membership in the previous church in Heath where I was, I saw many of different cultures. And I used to concentrate on the various languages. And some were difficult because they were tonal, lovely, but hard for me to get around them. But I did. There's no sweeter sound in all this earth than to hear your name said correctly. When we make a mess of a person's name in another language, we hurt them, because our name is precious to us. Now, do you think God is going to make a mess of our names? Never. He knows us by name. And as well as that, he doesn't say, oh, are you one of the bad ones? No. You're one of those that loved my son. You're one of those who my son enveloped in his love. You look beautiful. You've been washed very clean. No spot or blemish in you. You have been dressed so beautifully. Yes. Do you know what I've got this from, Father? It's the robe of Christ. It's the beauty of Christ. Well, it fits you well. You look well. Well, I'm in Christ. Oh, what better place could you be? That's my address. I'm in Christ. Well, come in. Come in. Do you know what? I'll show you something. I got a book here. Your name's there. When did you write it, Lord? Before the foundation of the world. You knew. Yes. I chose. Before the foundation of the world. Come into the kingdom prepared for you before the foundation of the world. Is there anything? Is there anything in any other religion, big or small? Is there anything comparable to this? Is there any pleasure in this world comparable to this peace? Even in this life, when you go through sorrows and bereavements and difficulties and disappointments, you know, if I may finish with just this, I can remember once, I'm not going to the details of the hard time, they were very hard, and I didn't know where to turn, I really didn't know, neither my wife or I, both of us. And we had a little, it was a little yellow page of a thing, like a, not cardboard, not as stiff as that, but hard paper. And it was by Darby, Jean Darby. And it had on it the disappointments of life. And I read it. Have you financial difficulties? This thing is from me. It's a verse, by the way. Are your friends forsaking you? This thing is from me. Have you been misunderstood? This thing is from me. And if I told you what I've gone through, I think you'd weep, but I'll not make you weep, all right? And I thought, this thing is from thee. Well, Lord, if it's from thee, thank you. It's for my good. That's how much he cares. And then finally, when we go to the valley of the shadow of death, do you know he doesn't leave us on our own? You might say, well, I don't want to go through that valley on my own. Do you remember, do you know that? Do you know your scriptures? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear, what? No evil. Why? For thou art with me. I can hear you. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me. And then the very end, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Can there be anything better than that? For those who are the Lord's, appreciate it. For those who are not, think about it. For those who are rebelling, pause and consider it. But wherever we are, turn your eyes upon Jesus and look full in his wonderful face. That the things of earth might grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Now shall we pray. Almighty God and our Heavenly Father, we thank thee that we can come to thee in our Saviour's name and ask thy help, O Lord, for every one of us and for the need of each one. We pray, Father, that every one of us here shall be in that situation where thou dost remember us. And perhaps we will say now, Lord, will you remember me? And he will surely say, there's no need for you to say it. I know you. I know you by name. My sheep hear my voice and I know them. I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall anyone pluck them out of my hand. We thank thee, Lord, for this. Hear us for thy name's sake. Amen. Now,